Him. Well, we are moving toward October 1st, and if you haven't heard already, that is Homecoming Sunday, where we are celebrating 300 years of God's faithfulness here at Grockdale, and looking back over our history and saying, wow, God, you've been so good. We also need your grace, because there's ways we've fallen short. But as we come to this time, we're calling it Homecoming, and what I want to do over the next number of weeks before October 1st and then in the weeks after October 1st is we want to focus on homecoming in a much broader sense, because homecoming is such an important concept in the gospel. It's about renewal. You are coming home, turning your heart toward home, toward God. And we are never more at home. You can be on the other side of the earth, but you are never more at home than when you are walking in obedience to God. It doesn't matter where you are. So it's not about a physical place. In fact, as we look at Abram today, Abram was called by God to leave his household. And so he came home by leaving home. And so that my prayer for each and every one of us, and I'm going first on this, it's like when you're working on the sermon, God is working on you. And I sometimes find you get tested on those things in which you're prepared to teach upon and preach upon. That's certainly true for me. But we are called to renewal. We are called to renewal. And we are prone to wander. And the scripture from Revelation 2:4 says it so well. It says where the Spirit of God calls out to the church there and says, return and do those things you did at first. Do those things you did at first. That's a scripture I want to hold before us throughout this series over the next number of weeks. The other thing I want to hold before us is a quote from Augustine, St. Augustine, many years ago. See if that pops up there on the screen there, that quote. And if it doesn't pop up, that's okay. I'll just say it anyway. If you can get that up there. Oh, there's the title. There's our series, Coming Home Through Renewal. I haven't used this for a while. I'm a little out of practice here. Okay, this is a quote from Augustine. He says this. He says, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. That is so true. And we will find that again and again in our lives. When we are out of alignment with God, we are away from home, and God calls us back and says, you will only find your true home. You will only find true rest when you are in right relationship with God. And we need to renew that again and again and again. So it's a call for us as a congregation to renewal at this time. And then back to Revelation 2:4. You have forsaken your first love. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do those things you did at first. So we're recognizing that it's not just getting your heart right with God. There are actions that accompany it. There are actions that accompany it. That our actions lead our heart and our heart leads our actions. It cannot be separated by the way we live out our faith. And then this scripture from Romans 12 that Becky read today is one I really want to center on for the next number of weeks in this series. It's, I hope I don't say this too much, but this is one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. Romans 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, God's good, pleasing and perfect will. The renewed mind changes our way of thinking. That you think about the actions we're taking in hurricane relief. That if we are not having a renewed mind as we give of our gifts to people in need, then we're missing something profoundly important. That we need to have our minds changed to be more and more like the heart of God, and it's a lifetime journey. And as we get into the series here, I want to be looking, and I invite you to turn to Genesis 12, because I think it can be so helpful for us when we think about the gospel of Jesus Christ and then look at the ways some of these principles played out in the Old Testament, how God was showing us his heart through some of these people many years ago, long before Jesus came. But the character of God and the heart of God has always been the same. And I want to invite you to look at the life of Abram and how he would begin well with God, and then he would drift away, and then God would call him back. That there was always a sense of renewal happening in Abram's life and in the other patriarchs as well. And there's so much that we can learn for what it means for us to experience renewal in the same way that Abram did. And so I invite you to look at Genesis 12. And it's a story of the call of Abram. And here's this picture. I love some of the art that's done to depict some of these things. There's Abram. And God is speaking to him. And God is calling him and saying, "You, Abram, I'm calling you to leave your home. And I'm calling you to go to a place that I will show you. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make you a great blessing to the world. You and your offspring, your descendants, are going to cover the earth, and they're going to be a blessing to the world." That's a promise given to Abram. And Abram responds in wholehearted obedience. He takes all of his possessions, and he leaves his father. He leaves Haran, and he follows God to a place where he doesn't even know where he's going. And if you look at the scripture, you'll see that he enters into worship along the way. He stops and he builds an altar to the Lord and he worships. He takes everything with him. It's a wholehearted commitment. And I believe that Abram is never more at home than when he has left in obedience to God. That we come home by walking in obedience more than anything else. It's not about a place, but it's about a posture of the heart. And that's where Abram's at. But sure enough, we can identify with Abram because Abram begins well, just like you and I all do. We begin our Christian life with perhaps great fervor, passion. We begin well, but our hearts are prone to wander. And sooner or later, we find ourselves waking up one day and realizing we have moved away from the love for God with which we began our journey. And we need to be called back. And sure enough, that happens to Abram. And here, you'll see how this works out here. Here's Abram and his wife, Sarai. And they arrive in Egypt because there's been a famine. So they go there for food. And I want you to watch what happens to Abram. He began by trusting God. He began by leaving everything, taking everything with him, wholehearted commitment to God. But here he is in Egypt. And now he starts to have fear go through his mind. And he says to his wife, Sarai, he says, "You're a beautiful woman." He's starting off well there. He says, "You know, in Egypt, they're going to see you're beautiful, and they're going to kill me so they can have you." He's playing out fear and anxiety. And so he says, "Okay, here's our plan. You tell everybody you're my sister," which was partially true. She was his half-sister. "Don't tell them you're my wife. And that way they won't harm me." You see what's going on here? Is he continuing with a heart of faithfulness and trust? Or is he starting to lean on his own understanding? I think that's what he's doing. He is maneuvering. He is scheming. He is manipulating. Doesn't say that he prayed and asked God for wisdom, what to do. No, he's just thinking this thing through. And when we do these things, and I don't know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but we all do this from time to time, don't we? We start trying to outthink God and forgetting that God cares for us. And when we do these things, there's a couple, he's focusing on himself. And that's my confession, how easy it is to do that, to start thinking first and foremost about yourself rather than about the God who has called you. And that's what Abram's doing here, thinking first and foremost about himself. And when you think first and foremost about yourself, you tend to be motivated by fear and anxiety and let that call the shots. We've all been there. And when you're motivated by fear and anxiety, you start trying to manipulate circumstances rather than trusting in God. This is human nature. And we're seeing it right here in Abram. So I hope you take comfort if you see some of your own inclinations here, because this is a real human being, fallen like we are. But the fourth thing is what really hits home to me, and maybe it will to you, that when we do these things, we end up hurting those closest to us. Now, think about what Abram did here with Sarai. So what he does is they lie and they say she's his sister. They don't say she's his wife. And so the Egyptians, they take her into their household because they assume she's available. And God then inflicts punishment upon their households because they've done this. And it stirs up all kinds of problems. But look at Abram. Is he protecting his wife? No. He makes her, puts her in a very vulnerable position, and leads to all kinds of chaos and problems. And when the Egyptians learn that she is actually Abram's wife, they say, why didn't you tell us this? That the indication there is that if Abram had simply trusted God and been truthful about the situation, that they would have actually not proceeded to take advantage of her. But Abram didn't do that. He tried to manipulate God. And I think this was something where Abram really learned a lesson. He woke up and said, whoa, I have really come out of alignment with trusting God. And I've tried to out-manipulate the situation for my own purposes, motivated by fear and anxiety. And I believe the scriptures don't go into detail about this, but I believe this was a moment where Abram said, God, I have wandered from you, and I want to come home. I want to trust you again. I want to give up everything for you again. I'm going to believe that you're the one who called me, and you're the one who's going to be faithful. It's this experience of renewal and realignment with God that Abram experiences here, and it's available for each and every one of us. That when we find ourselves wandering away, we're called back to this place of trust in God, rather than trying to be motivated by anxiety and fear and manipulating and ending up hurting, especially those who are closest to us. We never think we will, but that's usually who suffers first when we're doing this. It's those closest to us. And those of us who are married know how that can, it impacts our spouses first and our children. And God has a better way. God has a better way. And the good news is that Abram learns here. He learns here, and so can we. God's grace is so amazing that God is able to restore us and renew us. And how do we know that happened? Well, you don't even have to go beyond Genesis 12 to see a changed Abram. And here it is. This situation with Abram and his nephew Lot. And they have herds. And the herdsmen that work for them start getting in conflicts and quarrels about, your sheep are on our land, and no, this grass is for us. And they're having all these arguments, and they come back and they explain this to Abram and Lot. And Abram says, we should not be in conflict with one another. We can work this out. Notice how he's not leaning on fear and anxiety. He wants to make peace. And so he calls Lot together, and he says, Lot, he says, I want to give you first choice. He said, you can look over the land, and you go one way with your sheep, and I'll go the other with mine, but Lot, you choose first. You see the heart of trust that Abram has developed here? That something has happened again in his life that has enabled him to say, God, it doesn't matter what kind of land I have for my sheep, I know you're going to take care of me. And there's generosity toward his nephew Lot. And Lot looks over the land, and he picks what looks best to him. He takes that for himself, and that leads to all kinds of problems then for Lot. And that's a whole other story. But Abram allows him to take what looks to be the best, and Abram goes the other way, and there's peace. And I think this is a wonderful example here. What we're seeing is that when we come into right relationship with God, selfishness becomes generosity, an open hand. And there's this principle in with our resources of any kind that the more tightly we hold to them, the more they actually harm us. But when we are open-handed, we are living in the way we are designed to live, which is to be a blessing. Because if you go back to the original promise God made to Abram, is you will be a blessing. So selfishness is turned into generosity. Fear becomes courage. Because we're not looking to ourselves, but looking to the God who empowers and provides. And we see that in Abram. We turn from manipulating circumstances to trusting and waiting upon God. And for some of us, that is not easy to do. It's like, I trust God, but let me help you, God. How many times do we try to help God along? And there's a story not too far along here in Genesis where with the story of Ishmael and Isaac. Where Abram is not patient to wait for God's plans and tries to help God out. And we'll be getting to that a little bit later. But we turn from manipulation to trusting and waiting upon God. And finally, this leads to blessing to others. That when we are in right relationship with God, God allows us to be a blessing to other people, starting with those in our own household. Starting with our spouses and children, starting with those in our congregation, starting with your neighbors. The blessing starts with those closest to you and then expands outward. How many times do we need to be reminded of that? But that's what happens when we come into right relationship with God. And I believe Sarai would testify that it was a whole lot easier living with Abram when he was in right relationship with God than when he was trying to outplan and outscheme God. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. And I want to close with this last story that I think illustrates this so well. You've probably seen this on the news. You know, when it's hard to imagine what it must be like to be in Florida right now or what it was like in Texas last week, but when it brings out the very worst in people and it brings out the very best in people. It's like that whole analogy, when you're shaken, what's inside of you comes out. And it's hard to know how any of us would react if we were in a situation where there was going to be widespread devastation in our area and everybody's trying to get what they need and take care of themselves. And there was this incident in Lowe's where this man, everybody was trying to buy these generators. And the man on the right in the white shirt, he got the last one, the last generator, and he was going to purchase this. And he had every reason, I don't know if he's a man of faith or not, but he had every reason to think, God, you have provided for my needs, and I got the last generator. Praise God. God is taking care of me and my household. But then there's this woman on the left who is just absolutely distraught when she realizes that she won't have a generator because her father has medical equipment. He's not able to evacuate. And he has medical needs that he needs electricity. He needs power. And her not getting this generator means that her father may very well may die. And what do you do if you're the man on the right? Well, it depends how you're understanding the blessing of God. You can say, no, you know what? I'm not going to give up the blessing God has given to me. I got the last one and God's favor is upon me. You know what this guy does? You've seen the story. Is he turns to this woman and says, you can have it. You take it. It brought tears to my eyes when I saw this story for the first time. And here again, I don't know what the Christian commitment is of these folks, but this is the gospel of Jesus Christ being lived out right before us, being willing to lay down your life for a stranger. And he allows this woman to have the generator, to take it home so her father can live. And now he doesn't know how he's going to get through the storm. But I think this is just the scripture says in Genesis 12 to Abraham, and you will be a blessing. And I would love to hear the rest of the story, to hear if this man, if it was out of his Christian commitment that he made this decision. But whether it was or not, whatever motivated it, you and I can recognize that this is what it means to be in right relationship with God, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when that moment comes, and how do you ever know how you'd respond when you're in a situation like that? But the renewed mind is able to respond with trust and confidence in God. We are never more at home than we are walking in the will of God. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when he was over here in the United States in New York in 1939 or 1940, and the Holocaust was breaking out over in Germany, and people said, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you can't go back over there because you're in danger. You're going to be put in prison. He says, I have to go to be with my people. He purposely put himself in a dangerous place because he really believed God was calling him to be there. And it actually led to him actually being killed. But you're never more at home than when you're living in the will of God. You're never safer, even if it means bodily harm, than when you are trusting in God and living in the purposes of what God has called for you. And this only happens through a renewed mind. Because when we conform to the pattern of the world, the pattern of the world here is take care of yourself. The renewed mind becomes a blessing to others. Let's pray. Lord God, we confess. We confess that we are selfish by nature, looking out first for our own interests. I confess that. And I know we can all join together in that confession. And Lord, I confess that when I'm selfish, I tend to operate out of fear and anxiety. And when I do that, I tend to try to manipulate and outthink you. And when I do that, I hurt the people closest to me. I confess that. And I would imagine others would join me in that confession. And Lord, we just ask for you to pour out your grace upon us to renew our minds. Call us home. Because it's restless when we're not walking with you. And we want to be near you. And Lord, we thank you that you have promised to bless us, not just for our own interest, but so that we may be a blessing to those around us. And we want to walk in that way, Lord, just like Abram did. And we thank you that you took him back time and time again and renewed him. And we cry out for that for ourselves. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.